PPI.org.
Good evening. Thank you for joining Disability and Progress, where we bring you insights into ideas about and discussions on disability topics. My name is Sam. I'm the host of this show. Charlene Dahl is my research team. Good evening, Charlene. Annie Harview, engineers. Thank you, Annie. Just a reminder that you can hear us. If you don't catch us live, we are a podcast. If you like to hear other podcasts, you can go to our website and click on the podcast and you can hear others besides this one. or you can hear us on your smartphone by downloading the app if you want to do that for future shows. This is 90.3 KFAI and KFAI.org. Tonight, we are speaking with Cow Tipping Press. Actually, that's not a person, but a company. But we have Rachel Lieberman in here with us. Hello, Rachel.
Hello.
We have also Christina Craig. Hello, Christina.
Hello.
Thank you for joining us. And we have Vince Furielli. Furielli. Sorry about that.
That's what everybody messes up.
Well, good evening, Vince.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for joining us from Cow Tipping Press. And we have a couple students with us too. Why don't the students tell us who they are? Students, can you address or introduce yourselves?
My name is Michael Grace.
Hello, Michael. And who else might we have? Do we have anyone else with us?
Mohammed, can you click unmute?
There. Somebody called my phone. Miss Christina.
That's okay. So, Mohammed, hi. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Yes, you said I got this. Yeah. Wait a minute. This is this picture of potato chips by Omar. And
okay.
Okay, I'll...
No, we're not going to read it yet. We're not going to read it yet. So be patient. And I'm just kind of ask some questions and then I'll bring you guys back to read. Okay. And I think we had another student join us. Did we not?
Bryant, do you want to introduce yourself?
Maybe are they on mute?
Nope.
Are they too shy? Okay, well, I have to move on because it's radio and silence isn't good. So why don't we start out by talking about what is Cow Tipping Press and how did it get its start?
Vince, do you want to take this one?
I was just about to.
Go for it.
Yeah, Cow Tipping Press, I think it's like just a little fun gathering for some disabled people and they learn to do some writing. And like sometimes they got words of the day that we'll have fun and make things out of.
And who qualifies to be in the classes?
Ellen, Christina, you might want to take that one. I don't know how.
Yeah, I can take it. This is Rachel with Cow Tipping. So we're an organization based in Minnesota, and we teach and publish creative writing by adults with developmental disabilities. And you know, there's many different labels, right, that different people prefer and use, but anybody who feels comfortable being published under our organization can take our classes. And right now we're with students from Transition Plus, the Minneapolis Public Schools Transition Program, who are high school students who've had their work published just this month.
Excellent. So how many students do you have per class usually?
Each class has up to 10 students in it.
Ah, okay. And how long are the classes?
That was usually just 8 weeks, one meeting each week.
Oh, okay. All right. So it kind of just is a pretty laid back, sounds like, type of thing. I'm sure it's kind of changed a little. How long has Cal Tipping Press been going, Rachel?
So we've been running for over 5 years now. And of course, this year has been different because we've been on Zoom for our first year, which is its own exciting, challenging adventure. And I think Christina, if you'd like, can speak a little bit more to what our classes are like, and if our students want to chime in too, that's great.
Yeah. So Christina, so now how has it been, how's the changes gone during COVID, and how is it different in the classes now?
Yeah. So my first time teaching with Cow Tipping was this semester. So,
Don't know anything else.
Yeah, I only know Cow Tipping on Zoom, actually. But our classes were 2 hours every Friday afternoon at the end of our students' pretty busy school weeks. And we did a combination of looking at different readings and responding to writing prompts and sharing our writing during our classes. And our class was beautifully small, and so we got to hear one another's voices quite a lot, which I really was grateful for.
So Vince, excuse me, you must have taught before the pandemic with Cow Tipping then, huh?
I was a client a couple times.
Oh, okay. So how do you feel doing this in COVID? Does it feel hard or is it easier?
It's easier than I thought it would be.
Yeah, what makes it easier?
I've never done anything on Zoom.
Yeah.
And I got chosen to be an apprentice this time. I wasn't a student, and it was easier than I thought it would be, more fun.
Oh, that's cool. So you didn't really miss the live interaction.
No, what you could wonder is we used to meet at like a library in a room once a week.
Yeah.
It was like right on the board, and the apprentice would just circle around the tables looking at the client's writing.
Uh-huh.
We don't do the COVID. We had to go on Zoom, which again, for me, made it pretty easy to teach.
Well, that's cool. I'm glad that, you know, some people think that's harder or they miss having live experiences with people, but Zoom is, well, it's pretty close, right?
Yeah.
And some people think, oh, isn't that, it's kind of easier because you don't have to go anywhere. You could, you know, sit in your pajamas. Unless you cared about how someone looked at you.
It was a lot easier than I thought it would be.
Yeah, that's good. We have Cow Tipping Press with us. And so we have several people in the Zoom room here. We have Rachel Lieberman, Christina Craig, and Vince Fiorella. Fiorella? Pronounce it once more for me. Huh?
Fiorella.
Fiorelli. Okay. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Sorry about that. thank you for being patient with that. And I think you're an apprentice, right, Vince?
Yeah.
So what does that mean to you? Like, what does apprentice for Cow Tipping Press do?
Well, with me, I kind of took it up. Like, I'm just like a second instructor with Christina. So I just like would talk to the students, say like what the word of the day is, give them tips how to do their writing.
Mm-hmm. And you must enjoy writing then. Do you hope to be a teacher with Cow Tipping sometime?
Well, actually, I'm in college right now, hoping to be a writer for making books for the shelves.
Oh, excellent. Wow.
I've been writing since I was 10.
Oh, okay. So how many books have you written?
Well, I don't have any on the shelf. I just been having fun, like, writing little poems and little books.
Yeah. Well, I'd like this. I had the students introduce themselves earlier, and I think we had somebody else come in. Tell me your name again. Sorry.
Omar.
Thanks for coming in with us, Omar.
Yeah.
So, do we have three people now?
I think we have four.
Four. Okay. So you might help me with the names and everything, Christina.
Yeah, of course.
Or Vince, either one of you. I want you to pick somebody who you would like us, I'd like them to kind of tell about how they like being in Cow Tipping Press and then read one of their pieces.
Is there anyone who would like to share first? Omar, would you like to go?
Oh, yes, but note, I have a short story poem for everyone that you already know.
All right, what's the name of your story, Omar?
Good question. I call it Calm.
All right, okay. Go for it.
I don't. Calm is relaxed, so peaceful, so quiet. It makes you soothing. It makes you want to relieve.
Very good. Well, thank you, Omar.
My pleasure.
So what made you want to write that? Do you feel calm a lot, or do you feel like you need things to help you be calm?
I feel calm a lot.
Oh, good. Because in this time and age, sometimes it's hard to feel calm. I'm glad you feel calm. And
Oh, yes.
How do you like being in Cow Tipping Press?
And how do I like being in Cow Tipping? It makes one become a good reader.
Oh, good. And how long have you been in? Is this your first class?
Yes.
Good. So who's the next person who would like to read?
Yeah. I also have another piece by Omar if we want to do multiple readings for students. Yes. Is that
Let's do it, Sam? Yeah,
right.
That's perfectly fine.
Omar, would you like to read another piece? You have quite a few pieces in here.
Yes. Everything's our poem's called Everything's White. The buildings are white, our rooms are white, our floors are white, even our shirts are white, even our cats are white. And yes, our hats are white. Even our papers are white, even our crayons are white, our markers are white, even our scraper is white, and most importantly, our gloves are white.
Tell me about that story. Like, what made you write that?
Oh, yes, the idea for this poem, it came from me. If I found it, everything's our white colors.
Ah, and so do you like white, or what was it that inspired it?
Yes, I like white because it's part of my color. White is a lovely color.
And it looks always so clean and bright, right?
Uh-huh.
Let's see. Anybody else?
Yes, Omar, you're wearing a white t-shirt and the background behind you is white. Yeah. That's your color. Yeah, we could. Bryant, would you like to share some of your writing?
It's okay, Bryant. We want to hear it.
Bryant, can we hear your voice? Are you there? Would you like to share this story?
I'm not sure if they're...
Okay, there we go.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, we can.
We can't hear you very well, so make sure you're close to your microphone.
Can you try talking again, Bryant?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think it's going to be too hard to hear. I'm not sure what his internet is like.
Bryant, can you turn the picture? Do you know how to turn the picture off, but keep your sound on? Because sometimes that makes your voice come through sounding nicer. Your voice sounds good, but it's just very quiet.
Hey, I can't read.
Do you want to read or no?
I can't read because you guys do moving.
Okay, I will stop moving. I was just moving to see the different pieces that you have. Would you like to read this piece?
Thank you. Okay, Wait and Be Patient by Brian Lyle 17. It might be happy. Red might be color superheroes. Red. Hello?
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Okay. This is Siri, Tina.
Huh?
Thank you, Brian.
Hello?
Thank you, yes.
We can hear you.
How many books a year does cow tipping do?
Well, each class that we have publishes a book when it's finished, and it's a collection of 2 to 4 pieces by all the authors who were in each class. This year, we published around over 20 books this year, and we also published a best of, our third best of volume, which is kind of the best pieces selected from our last 10 to 15 books.
Excellent. So you have several classes a year then?
We do, yes.
So Christina, if it's okay, what was your background before you came to cow tipping?
Yeah, I'm a student at the University of Minnesota. I'm in my last semester. And I study history and I want to be a teacher. And I care about the intersections of education and disability, and also love to write and kind of loved all of my interests combining at cow tipping. We'll see what the future holds. I definitely will be teaching. And this experience kind of brought me to think a little bit more about kind of what context I want to be teaching in.
Rachel, are all the books poetry that are written, or are there various stories?
Yeah, in our classes, we do poetry and fiction and nonfiction and drama. So it's a collection of those different genres. And a lot of it is probably pretty genre bending. It's a variety in each book.
All right. We're going to take another short break and we will be right back.
From Minnesota Native News, this is your COVID-19 daily update.
Bonjour, Anine. I'm Cole Primo. Here's your daily update. Minnesota has now expanded COVID-19 vaccine eligibility to anyone over 16 years old, but priority will still be given to those more vulnerable to the virus and essential workers. Governor Tim Walz recently announced the expansion, calling it good news.
We're here to end this pandemic. We are on the doorstep of doing this. We're not done. The analogy we used is a few nice days does not make spring, but certainly it is here. And today is one of those days where we can start to make the big leap forward.
The expansion comes with the state expecting more supply from the federal government. At this time, however, Walz and other state health officials say the supply of the vaccine has not yet met demand for it. Priority will still be given to older Minnesotans, those with underlying health conditions, and frontline workers. Indeed, there are 10 major health systems that are only offering the vaccine to people with underlying health conditions at this time. Those include Allina, CentraCare, Children's Minnesota, Essentia Health, Hennepin Healthcare, Mayo Clinic, M Health Fairview, North Memorial Health, and Sanford Health. Additionally, while those 16 years of age and older are eligible for the vaccine, only one of the three COVID-19 vaccines has been approved for those 16 years of age and older, and that's Pfizer's vaccine. The vaccines from Moderna and Johnson & Johnson are approved for those 18 years of age and older. According to State Health Department data, 80% of those 65 years of age and older have received at least one vaccine dose. Over two-thirds of educators and child care workers have also had at least one vaccine dose. Minnesotans are encouraged to sign up for the state's Vaccine Connector tool at vaccineconnector.mn.gov. I'm Cole Primo.
This Minnesota Native News COVID-19 Daily Update is supported by the Minnesota Department of Health.
again, this is Disability and Progress, and this is KFAI 90.3 FM Minneapolis and KFAI.org. And Charlene Dahl is my research team. I'm Sam Jasmine. Annie Harvey is my engineer. We're speaking with Cow Tipping Press, and we have Rachel Lieberman with us, and we also have Christina Craig, and we have Vince Fiorelli. Did I get that, Vince?
You're close. It's Fiorelli.
Oh, you poor thing. I'm so sorry. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so I wonder what, if I could ask any one of the students who wants to talk about what does writing mean to them? Like, what do you, how does writing make you feel? And why do you do it? Who wants to answer? Michael?
Michael?
I hear you, Michael. Why don't you tell me what writing means to you and why you like to do it?
I like write poems.
Yeah.
I want to.
And why do you like writing?
Because it's fun.
Uh-huh. Omar, how about you? Why do you like to write?
I like to write. That makes me want an inspiration.
Excellent. Let's see. Who do we have that? Mohammed?
Mohammed, are you there?
Yes.
Why do you like to write, Mohammed?
I like to write because I like to write like a dog.
Yeah? Do you write stories about dogs, poems about dogs?
Yeah, just a poem about dogs.
Oh, excellent. Do you have something you could read for us that you've written?
Mohammed, I can share some of your writing. On the screen, is there a piece that you're thinking about sharing that you've written? Let's see.
There, I got it. There is no.
You have My Yellow Story that you could share. You have.
Hold on, let me see. There, that's all I got. Yellow Story.
Okay, go
Let's
for it.
Go up to Yellow Story.
Yellow circle looks like a sun, and when it's hot, just us. Air conditioner. When it's yellow, a yellow grapefruit, a yellow lemonade. When I am hot, air. Needs ice. Okay, air with ice. Drink and open the window and read a book and read a Dr. Seuss book, The Cat in the Hat.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Mohammed, would you like to read another one? We have The Invisible Story. On your last, I think it's on the last page of the book. I also have it on the screen. You want to read this one?
Yes.
Cool.
Yes. No one can see me because I am invisible. I am invisible because no one cannot see me. Because I am invisible to go for a walk and to wear a cloak. And when that's why I keep walking, I am invisible. I need a disguise. Need the antidote to go back to normal people can't see me. No one. Now anyone can see me. Surprise, I'm here.
Do you like invisible things, Muhammad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me see. Come on.
Is that the, what's your favorite poem that you've ever written?
Muhammad, would you like to finish your piece or would you like to stop?
Just stop.
Okay.
You did a good job. Thank you.
Yes, thanks.
Christina, I'm wondering what you feel, what does this experience give to you?
Yeah, that's a really wonderful question. This experience has given me a lot. It's given me something to look forward to every week. I really enjoyed teaching these students and connecting in this weird pandemic world, even though everything is virtual. This experience also expanded my idea of where words can take us as human beings and how words can connect us. Like we imagine places and we can tell our feelings using these things we call words, and right. We can know how other people feel by reading or listening to their words. And yeah, I've been thinking a lot about how words make possibilities, and like if something is possible, then I don't know. I've just been like having a lot of like ramblings about writing, and I think it's really fun. And this class has also expanded my view of like what disability is and what people with disabilities, like we should be reading them and reading their work, and yeah, the creativity and just like the truth and honesty that all writing brings out of people is something to be honored and like respected and shared. So yeah, I have a lot of thoughts. This experience has given me a lot, but mainly just like really awesome relationships. So yeah.
Vince, I'm wondering, Vince, you were a student in this class. So yeah. Now you're an apprentice. So how does it make you feel? You must, I mean, people kind of look up to that, I would think, you know, since yeah. You were a student and now you're an apprentice, that kind of gives people these ideas of, hey, I could do that. So how does that make you feel that you've come from the student to the apprentice?
Makes me feel really happy because it's like, it shows like I've always wanted to do something like this, or like helping out another person, like the students, and it really makes me happy.
So your apprentice, can you keep being one? Can you keep working as an apprentice for a while?
Well, I don't know, but cause I'm also in college training, so I don't know if I could really stay as it is. Sorry. I'd like to stay, but I don't know if it's like able to. I would love to stay if I could.
Can students, this is just for any of you, Vince or Christina, or anybody who can answer it, I guess. Can a student, how many classes in a row can a student take?
I think it was like at least two, I think it was.
Can they take two?
Yeah, so we don't have a limit on how many classes a student can take. And actually our apprentice program, which Vince is a part of, was born out of students taking class after class after class. And then it's step in day one and the students are saying, no, you forgot to do this, or next we have to do that. And so that program was kind of born naturally out of students coming back and being ready to kind of take on the next leadership step.
Yeah, I remember after the students I did so many good ones, everybody was begging me to be an apprentice.
Aw, well, that must have made you feel good.
Yeah.
So Rachel, for you, how has the pandemic changed how you handle all these classes? Is it harder to find teachers to do this?
Yeah, certainly I was daunted at the start, you know, how we're going to work with students online and train teachers online. And I think like all of us were really daunted about how we were going to do everything online. But I feel so grateful looking back at this year at just how much fun we've been able to have on Zoom and how successful we've been in being able to teach on Zoom. Our first full Zoom semester was a full summer ago. And we had 9 classes on Zoom, and after a few kind of tech barriers, they ran really smoothly. And I think what we've realized is that, you know, the group of students we work with are part of a group of people who are really marginalized and isolated always, in ways that kind of a lot of us had to feel for the first time this year.
Right.
So we're working with folks who were really stuck, you know, whether it's a group home or a day program that's shut down, in kind of extra isolation, and that the kind of meaningful community and chance to express yourself in our classes was extra necessary in some ways for all of us this year. And yeah, I've just felt really grateful for the energy that our students bring to all of our classes. And I think of everything I've had to do on Zoom this year, our classes and kind of the celebrations like this of our books have been the most fun and the most rewarding and the things I actually look forward to opening Zoom for.
And so will you or have you gone back to live classes yet? And if you haven't, will you?
We haven't yet. My hope is that we will. And maybe even this summer with vaccinations starting to ramp up for people. But we'll definitely still continue to do some classes online.
Yeah, I was going to ask that.
Yeah. And actually, you know, for some folks, it's even more accessible. In some ways, you don't have to deal with metro mobility. Or,
yeah. Well, and I was wondering, can people take classes from out of town then?
Yeah, a silver lining to our pandemic, if we can call it that, was that we've actually been able to do classes out of state. So we have one in Atlanta and potentially we'll have one in other places. So the way we run.
Fabulous.
Yeah, we partner with schools like Transition Plus and Minneapolis Public Schools, but also group homes and disability service orgs. And we now are not bound by geography.
Yeah. So we can't really talk monetary dollars, but so is Cow Tipping a 501c3, or how do you guys get your money?
We're fiscally sponsored by Springboard for the Arts.
Okay.
And we're both revenue-based and donation-based, and we sometimes write grants as well.
Excellent. And so when you sell the books, do the students get any of the profits?
Yes. When you purchase our books, which you can do on Amazon.com, both Kindle and paperback, and at cowtippingpress.org, we split proceeds to the authors. You know, all of our books are collections of various authors, and we divide the proceeds from those sales. And yearly, we get stipends back out to our authors.
And if somebody comes and they like need a screen reader or need a text type book or word book and word, can you provide that?
We can. Yeah. So there are the Kindle books. And then in our classes, we've had students use sign language, use speech to text or text to speech devices and a variety of different communication methods.
And so did you think that it sounds like you have quite a few classes a year and more than one at a time, right?
Mm-hmm, yes.
So what would be your hope for the future of cow tipping?
That's a really good question. And one we talk about a lot. I'd love to be able to reach new places with our classes. And really our hope always, bottom line, is that more and more people are reading the work of our authors, because it's really creative and it's really beautiful. And when we look to read diverse literature in the world, often I think people with developmental disabilities can be left out of those conversations, even in disability justice circles and in really radical and well-meaning spaces. So my hope is just that more and more people can read more and more stories by this group.
And where do you, I'm just curious, the name Cow Tipping Press, where did that come from?
Yeah, Vince, do you know the answer to this one?
Not really. Someone might have told me like they were just tipping over cows in the past.
No harm, no cows were harmed in the making of this organization. The name came out of a piece by a student in one of our first classes called Cow Tipping in the Dark. So the titles of all of our books come from student works. This book is called Bee Rojo, this class. And that comes from the piece Bryant read for us earlier.
Pronounce that again. Birojo.
Birojo. Yeah.
And what does that mean?
Bryant, do you want to speak to that?
What does Birojo mean?
Red.
So Rojo is in Spanish, the color red.
Oh, red. Okay, cool. All right. It's good to learn other words in other languages.
Brian, do you wanna share more about that piece? About why you wrote it?
Yeah, so those two things, those are fun and something
else. And again, Bryant, it's easy to hear you when you turn your video off. They can't hear you.
Hello?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So tell us about that title.
Because I have a friend named Christy Marie and Solve Booker and Clarice, Tony, Janae.
It's really hard to hear.
Clarence, Bruce.
We'll have to move on, I think.
Brian, yeah, you're sharing the names of your friends, right? You're sharing names of your friends?
Yeah, because I can't see because you're not presenting.
Well, I hope they're happy to have shout outs on the radio.
Everyone needs shout outs. So Rachel, when you've been able to have people from other states, it sounds like, on as well, yes?
Yes.
And does the Spring Board will support that and everything?
So it's really up to the different organizations.
I see. So so each state may have a Spring Board for the Arts type organization, and they might pay for that particular class.
The funding is from a kind of a wide range of org budgets and grants. And so it's not always a Spring Board, but maybe something similar.
And Sam? I'm wondering if we could hear from Michael, who has yet to share a piece.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I apologize. Michael, did you want to read one of your pieces too?
Yes, please.
Which one do you want to read?
About the beach.
The beach, that's right. Okay, please read that for me.
At the Beach by Michael Grace. The colors are so sweet and feeling and nice for comes out at the night. So to look up sky, color is pink over the lake or beach.
Thank you, Michael.
Very nice.
And Michael, would you like to read another piece too?
Yes.
Which one?
Awesome. We have Beat Up.
Yes.
Okay.
Pink. Boom. Bone, use.
Thank you, Michael. This one, do you want to talk about what you were thinking with this poem?
I like to beat up is like hip hop.
Oh, okay.
And that connects to the phone?
Rhyme is like we repeat three letters.
Yes, there's a lot of repetition here.
Ah, gotcha. Yeah. Yeah, there sure is. So, yeah, Michael, what is your favorite poem that you have written?
I've been running one time.
Here, this one?
Yes.
Let's hear it.
Sometimes I do something about not care myself during life into take right path with my friends, but time anything I was feeling not great to tell the truth, your friends and the things that are truth.
Thank you, Michael.
That was about friends?
Yep.
Yeah, they're really important, aren't they? I want to know if you guys have any final comments in regards to cow tipping that you'd like to share. You could give tell us where we can get the books once more. Teachers, Vince, anyone? Know. Where can we get the books?
The books
are available on Amazon. And you can also subscribe at cowtippingpress.org. You can subscribe and we'll send you all of our books when they're published 3 times a year. It's really fun package to get and it makes really good gifts for your friends as well.
And if people are interested in getting involved, like maybe they're interested in teaching or they're interested in becoming a student, how do they do that?
Yeah, excellent. Our website is a great place to start. And again, that's cowtippingpress.org. And there you'll find my email address. My name is Rachel. You can email me. We sometimes have open enrollment classes. But if you're somebody who's involved in a day program or a group home, or you visit a library a lot of the time, talking to that organization about putting on classes is another great way to do that.
Well, I want to wish Christina, I want to wish you good luck with going into teaching.
Thank you.
I think it can be a challenging time. And so I wish you the best of luck. And Vince, that's awesome that you were an apprentice and I hope you keep going and eventually maybe you'll become a teacher here. And I think you could do great things.
Yeah.
And are there any students who have final words they would like to share on our call? Omar?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Being here, cow tipping is our final moments. And like we always say, when it does, let's go no cows.
Thank you, Omar.
Omar was
you
holding.
You have the most expressive voice.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. Thanks, Omar. Any other students? Mohammed, Bryant, Michael, want to have any last words?
I want to say thank you all.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for coming on. It takes a lot to stand up and share, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, okay, go. Bye.
Thank you, Bryant.
Thank you.
Bye, bye. Well, I don't know, pal. I'll see you soon after I gotta show you my toys, Omar. Okay?
Yeah.
Omar? Yeah. Oh, nice. Uh-huh. Omar, I'll see you soon, Omar, okay? I'll be there, right? Stay safe, Omar.
I'll show you
my toys to come back.
Yeah.
Bye, Brian. Thank you so much for coming on.
Okay. Stay safe, Omar. I'm coming.
Omar, you have lots of friends.
Yeah, you said it.
Well, thank you all, Michael, Brian, Omar, and who am I missing?
Mohammed.
Sorry, Mohammed. Thank you very, very much for coming on. I really appreciate that. And Rachel and Christina and Vince, thank you guys as well. I appreciate that as well.
Thank you so much for having us on.
This has been Disability on Progress. The views expressed on the show are not necessarily those of KFAI or its board of directors. My name is Sam. I've been the host of this show. Charlene Dahl is my research woman. Annie Harview is my engineer. We've been speaking with Cow Tipping Press with Rachel Lieberman, Christina Craig, and Vince Furioli, and also the students that attended that session. This is KFAI 90.3 FM Minneapolis and KFAI.org. Thanks for joining.